Praise God. Well received this morning where we're going to go and what we're doing here. The some things the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I wasn't sure if when He wanted me to talk about those things or what He wants me to do. We're going to be going into a teaching series that we're going to talk about, and I just entitled The New Birth is a Must, and talking about is the new birth. One of the things that the Lord did speak to me about is the fact of, you know, today we have really the new birth itself lots of times in the church world. And even among people who are born again, it's not talked about being born again. It's always talked about forgiveness of sin. And people need to understand this in the church world. You don't go to heaven because your sins are forgiven. If you're not born again, you can't get into heaven. You must be, Jesus said you must be born again. And we need to understand that. We've lost the church world. If we look at the idea of today in the church and the mess that's going on in the church world, and the reason it's happened the way that it's happened is because the church does not preach the gospel anymore. I listen to many ministers who talk about preaching the gospel, and I listen to them talk, and they don't preach the gospel. They preach whatever their doctrine that they have along and what their beliefs are. But we must come back. Is number one, we're going to have to preach the gospel. And there's one thing, if you preach the gospel, you're going to make people uncomfortable. This is what is number one. The whole thing of this, you know, seeker-friendly church is about making people comfortable. I'm going to tell you what. You will never change if all you want is comfort. You just want just comfort, comfort, comfort. You know, people don't change into comfort. When people are comfortable, they don't do nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, has it worked? I mean, they build all the churches and the newer churches and they put them in and they give them all their cup holders and they got all their coffee coming in and they got all their stuff and they come to sit down in church. And it's about take care of the flesh. It's about take care of the flesh. That's not church. We don't come to church about our flesh. We come about our inner man, our spirit. And see, you can't put people in the flesh mode and then try to get them in the spirit. See how that works? You can't do it. See, seeker friendly is about making everybody comfortable. And it's not, you know, it's one of the things even years ago, I mean, in the church world, if I'd go back as a kid, and I mean, you'd go in even denominational churches, people would have puked to even what the charismatics do coming into church. You'd have never done what people do. People come in with such disrespect and don't, you know, we don't show God respect and things about coming to church. People don't many times today. You go into churches and people, I don't respect God. He's just coming, I'm going to come in. You know, Jesus is my buddy. He ain't my buddy. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God and I ain't. He's the one I worship. I don't worship my buddies. I worship Him. He's God. And see, we need to, in the church world, there needs to be come back a respect toward God. And we lost the respect because the true gospel doesn't get preached. And we, when it's not even preached in, it's not even preached and talked about, even though we're born again, we do need to hear things about the gospel because it reinforces our belief and our faith. And today, you know, that we've made everything into casual. Everything, church is a casual thing people come to. It's casual. It's all this stuff is made casual. You know, how many of you, if the president asked you to come down at the White House and he wanted you to visit the White House, how would you dress when you go down there? I mean, think about it. See, there's certain things. We'll do things of honor and men. People need to understand this. Is one of the things many times with coming to God, we approach God. We don't realize that what we many times do naturally is a sign of what we are on the inside many times. It's what we are on the inside. And we approach God in a very casual manner. Now look, we need to understand. We have a casual society. I mean, today that is just, it's, and it carries over into everything. And it carries into the things with God. I mean, with God, it's like today. I mean, if you would, like, want to run a prayer meeting, you ain't going to get a bunch of people show up. They're not going to come. They're not going to want to come and do that. You know, people talk about prayer. They want to talk about prayer when they got a problem and trying to get somebody else to do it. You know, pray for me. Trying to do those things, but praying yourself and seeking God yourself. God desires to move, but there must be change in the church. And I just want to tell you, the Lord spoke to me this morning. There's going to be change coming in the church world. God's going to raise up ministers with fire. And you're going to be uncomfortable. Because they're not going to preach to your comfort. This is why America's in the condition, because we don't have fire anymore. We don't have any fire. You know, I read this years ago. John G. Lake, definitely a man of fire. John G. Lake and his ministry was absolutely phenomenal. But John G. Lake noticed this. He said, because he is in the charismatic move, he saw the things start to change and stuff. And John G. Lake said this. He said, I don't understand the baptism, people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost anymore, because he said, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost, they don't have any fire. He said, I don't understand that. You see, we don't deal with this subject. Let me read you what now in Matthew the third chapter. Go to Matthew the third chapter. I want to read here. This is John the Baptist speaking concerning Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. Now, in Matthew the third chapter, I'm going to start reading at verse 7. It says there, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Now listen, you need to understand, when he's talking Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were the religious people of the day. The Pharisees were the word people of the day. They were sticklers for the law, for the word of the law. Boy, what it said. They were the sticklers for it. John the Baptist don't sound like a seeker-friendly preacher, does he? He doesn't sound at all like a seeker-friendly. Well, now, you know, I'm going to tell you what. If you got a minister today stood up and did that, people would get so angry. People would bring their backslidden relatives to church, and you'd say something like that. Oh my God. They'd just throw you right out the, well, they'd throw you right out the door. I mean, you're just the worst evil thing that ever happened. Folks, it's good preaching anyhow, whether you like it or not. He says to them, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. He said, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Now listen to what he says. And even now, he said, the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He didn't say he's just going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, so he was speaking to Jesus. He said, listen, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's what he talked about Jesus. How many Christians know that Jesus? That Jesus don't get preached. We have one side of Jesus we like, but there are sides of Jesus we don't like. So those don't get preached. And that's why the church has no fire. They don't have fire. God got to bring fire back to the church. God got to bring fire back. The church needs fire. The church needs somebody with fire. We're in a day and time. This is not the day and time to be talking sweet to people. These are the days of warning. These are the last call days. I just want to let you know this. You don't have much of a future. Unless you're going to be here with the Antichrist. You don't have much of a future. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin in 1950 and said to him, he said, many of my people are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. His ministry, Kenneth Hagin's ministry was for this, is to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why his ministry was given. Well, he died and left. Don't you think we're on the downside of this thing? You know what my job is? My job is to get Christians ready. Why? Because it's Christians want to reach the world and they ain't even ready. How are we going to reach people that we ain't even ready? How are we going to do it? We got to be ready. We have to. It's us. You know, I go pray and talk to God about reaching the world, and every time he ends up talking to me about the church, what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do in a church. See, the church world's all messed up. We live in a mess. You know, the fact that you guys are hungry and thirsty for something, you're such a minority. You don't realize how much a minority. A lot of people go through the religious motions and stuff, but a lot of people, they don't want to hear the truth. You stand up and say what the truth is. I'm going to tell you what. You look at the one of the things I've always admired about the book of Revelation. We have the churches of the book of Revelation. Every one of those churches had within them people who were following God. The Lord talked well of them, but they were always a minority. You need to understand this. The majority never walk right. The majority of Christians never walk right, never live right. I've been on the face of this earth as a Christian long enough to watch it. I have seen it. The majority don't. Majority follow things to them that seems good, that seems right. Most people follow the crowd. Whether we like it or not, most people want to be loved by other people. It is number one importance. Today we take American culture. The American culture is founded in the fact, notice me. I do everything. I mean, we got but they tattoo themselves all over the place. They do all kind of wear anything weird, strange or anything. Why? I have to be noticed. I gotta be noticed. Oh, I wanna be myself. Do you ever, I always like to meet the be myself people that dress just like everybody else that is in the latest style, be myself. I always love them, you know. I wanna be myself. You be yourself, you're gonna lose all your friends. You know what? I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And I was a terrible sinner. Dear God, there was evil going on. I was involved. I might even be at the head of it. And that's just the way I lived. And you know what? I worked around people and they thought they were pretty nice, but they loved the evil. And they even loved, they would, you know, it's just like, you know, back in days in high school, you know, I sort of did things. And anyhow, we'd throw parties. And all these really nice kids. They loved to come to our parties. They never went. Nobody went to theirs. And they would always, you know, love to come and do that stuff. You know, all these people want to be themselves and that kind of stuff. So, you know, finally in life, I decided that, you know, I was going to be myself and I accepted Jesus. And amazing how it cleared out all the people that liked to be around me. They like to be. You want to be yourself? You want to do something that's different than everybody else? I'm going to tell you what. Adios, amigos. They're gone. They all headed out. They didn't want to be what I was. What I became is a thorn in her side. I didn't even have to try to do it. But what happened is because of righteousness and sin, they just couldn't hang out together. I was always a reflection of them of what was wrong with them. See, when I admitted I was wrong, what they looked at, well, he's admitting we're wrong. Well, we don't like him. I didn't have to tell them they were doing wrong. They knew by my changed life. And that reflection, they hated. They hated that. See, if you can live around sinners and they like you, it's a good chance you're one of them. That's a good chance you're one of them. That's right. If you're a reflection of what they are, you know. No, nobody can be a sinner. See, this is why the church, we preach righteousness in a church. If righteousness is preached and unrighteousness comes into the place, it's going to be uncomfortable. The devil can't stand it. The devil hates righteousness. And see, if my nature's unrighteous. When I was an unrighteous sinner, I didn't hang out in the church. That wasn't the place that I ran to. You know, if a sinner even wanted to get married, they would look for an ungodly church to go to get married. They wouldn't look for the ones that were really righteous. They didn't run to them and ask the minister, marry us. Because they didn't want to get around anything that brought a reflection to them that they were wrong. You cannot. It is an impossibility to preach the gospel without offense. There are some people who are going to accept it. I was always offended if somebody came and preached the gospel to me. When I was a sinner, I was always offended if somebody came and preached the gospel to me. It offended me. But thank God, they didn't take offense. They preached the gospel to me. If I hadn't heard it, I could have never been saved. I had to know what the truth was. See, we're a society like today, you know, we want a news media that gives the truth. Do you really? What if you had a Christian news media and told you what you were really like? Would you say amen? Praise you, brother. I say it from our standpoint, we're just some ugly things. There's things about us and changing that we have to witness. Number one, the truth. The Bible says to know the truth, you know the truth makes you free. Well, if you don't know the truth, you can never live in the freedom of it. And we live in a society today that hates truth. It doesn't want truth. It's the last thing it wants is truth. If it had truth today, would our nation be like it is if it had truth? No, it isn't. So we need to know that. There's nothing, you know, one of the best things, you know, is getting over your own ego of finding out that you might be wrong or you might need to change. Because you're gonna. I mean, that's the Bible. I mean, you can't live off of a promise book Bible. You gotta go over there and read those places where Apostle Paul talks about the works of the flesh that we ain't supposed to be doing. You know, you gotta go read them things. You can't skip over those, you know. You got to read them with just the same robust way that you read that there promise that you really love so much that you're never going to get because you won't read the other. And you can never have faith to overcome, so you can never get the promise. Most Christians that have the receiving promise are having a hard time getting it. That's for the reason right there. It is easy to get the promise. It's dealing with your flesh. So you can get the promise. Dealing with your flesh. That's the thing. Dealing with my flesh. Folks, I'm talking to you from experience. I'm not telling you about dealing with my flesh. And I've learned. If I'm having a promise problem, I need to start look. What's wrong with me? It's nothing wrong with God. He's never wrong. So what's wrong with Ed? What do I need? What do I don't know that I need to get in line with? And do I really want to find out what is wrong with me? Do I really want to find out? I don't know. And but one of the things we have here is these guys came along. One of the things, he said we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. But you see this. He said his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat to the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now I want you to see, we look at these things from the negative standpoint, and we look at it as a negative. We need to understand about fire. Fire in control is a wonderful thing. I mean, if you have a furnace in your home, it's nice to have that controlled fire down there. Now you don't want that thing to get out of hand, because if it gets out of hand, fire can be a very dangerous thing. Fire is good. It's number one. we talk about Jesus here. He talks about we being baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, because fire does something. We need to understand the fire. When we deal with the areas of fire, somebody anointed. What started off is this morning, I was sleeping. I woke up at 3 o'clock woke up and just sort of like, you know, really awake. And when I know when I do that really awake stuff, you know, and I wake up and I'm just like off the bat, you know, cause I went to bed about 11. There's a little bit of toward 11 there, and I went to bed and 3 I woke up and I was just really wide awake. And so, there's one thing is with me, I don't know how you are, but like, you know, at nighttime, I'm quiet. So usually I can pick things up in my spirit really quick. See, people who sleep and are groggy all the time and that stuff, they usually probably don't. I do. Usually I wake up and I can always pick things up in my spirit. That's the way I am. I don't know. Some people have other things and other times that more set for them. But me at night, it just seems God talks to me, wakes me up in the middle of the night to talk to me on the nights I plan on getting sleep. I plan on getting some sleep because I even went to bed earlier than I normally do. But anyhow, so I'm there, and what he brought to something to my remembrance, and I just could remember this. What I was down out at Branson, and Randall Greer was ministry was there, and I went out there to those meetings, and Randall bought up one night. He just said this. He was talking about some things, and he made mention about Oral Roberts, and he said this. He made this statement, and really, it wasn't a whole lot tied to some other things he said. He just brought this thing out. He said, was talked about a vision that Oral Roberts had before he went home to be with the Lord. And he said, the Lord said to him that the preachers are preaching without fire in their belly. Now what he's talking about, the belly, the inner man. Fire in the inner man. See, baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's talking about something spiritual, not something physical. He's talking about something spiritual. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And preachers don't have fire, he said. They're preaching without it. Now, one thing that I know for myself, I don't have as much fire as I want to have. I got some fire, but I could just use somebody to throw some gas on me every once in a while. It would do me good. You know, I want to burn. But you know what? You need it. Now, number one, you need fire in your own personal life, because this is one thing the Lord spoke to me today. He said, you can't speak without confidence without fire. You can't speak with confidence without fire. The more fire you have in you, and what talking about concerning a subject, the more that you have in it, you're assured and you're, you know, you got it in you about, the more confident you're going to speak it. See, we don't have it. Preaching today is like, I listen to preachers on TV that are very good speakers, but I see this. They're nothing but good speakers. I can tell, not much of any anointing there. And what is sad about this to me is Christians don't even notice it anymore. Christians will come and say, oh, did you hear so-and-so? And I think about, yeah, I did. Oh, man, wish I wouldn't have. I'm tired of just speakers. I'm not interested in somebody talking eloquent. I don't care if a guy can talk too well. If he's anointed, turn him loose on me. I don't care. You know, that's what Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a very uneducated man. I mean, very. Now, he lived in England. He was an Englishman, but he talked terrible English. Now, you might, they do have recordings of him and that stuff. When he was preaching under the anointing. But you know what? When he wasn't in under the anointing, he was a terrible talker. You couldn't hardly understand what he said. But when the anointing would come on him, that man was fire. But he'd just speak, just clear. They would bring, in England, they would bring the seminary students to his meeting to show what it was like when a guy didn't have the anointing and had the anointing. They would use him as an example, because he would come out and start to speak, and he would just sort of stutter around and stammer, and people would think, like, where's this guy coming from? And all of a sudden, the anointing would drop on him, and it was another man. It was another man. And they would bring people to do that. Well, he was a man who operated. See, we don't know much about the anointing today. People don't, as me, I don't know how people minister without it. I don't know how they do. I hate to think of it. I did a funeral where I started out, the Lord told me to do a certain thing, and I sort of didn't want to head that direction really. So I got up and hem-hauled about it, and I'll tell you what, that was one of the worst times in my life. For about 5 minutes, I was stuttering and stammering around, and I'm thinking, oh, and then finally I just got over where God wanted to, and the anointing came. But the anointing didn't come, and I thought, man, if I have to stay up here with this thing, I'm going to obey God. to have the anointing. I'm sorry to say, a lot of preachers, they're following what the people want or what the people like. And as number one, you better prepare good for that. you better prepare. Now, see, I prepared today coming in. I've probably prayed about 4 hours or more before I came this morning, before I was here. But the Lord was talking to me about fire, and he spoke about fire. He said, we must have fire. He said, elections are not going to change America. He said, his power will change America. And he said, there must be preachers with fire. He said, that's what I'm into today. I want to raise up preachers with fire. I want people with fire because there's things that must be spoken. There must be a changed America. The people must be changed. If we want to see, there is no, you know, we have this idea. Here's to us where a revival is. A revival is miracles. No, a revival is getting people born again, folks. Do you ever think about John the Baptist's ministry? Do you think he did pretty good? You know, John the Baptist never did one miracle that we would call a miracle. Never did one. Jesus said he was the foremost prophet. He said there wasn't a greater prophet than John the Baptist. John the Baptist never did one miracle. In fact, we only have one time a word of knowledge he brought back, and that was Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there goes the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. That's all we have on record of that guy. See, we the church today, we know very little about what's powerful and what's what people, we have an idea, see, all these people today, see, if you're a prophet, you're going to have all these visions and dreams and all that stuff. And the devil has accommodated them. Because they don't even know what a prophet is. I've seen things and stuff, and that, but that's not important. My number one ministry is to speak for what God has to say. That's the number one ministry. It's not a vision and a dream. That's not number one. That's way down the line. That's way down the line. All these people seeing all this stuff, why don't they start preaching something and change the world? Like, God, we don't want another vision and dream. I want to see America change. And that's what God wants. God wants to change America, and he wants to bring it because there's things that need to be said. The church got to get out of its comfort zone. God wants to anoint the church. Now, I want you, this is something. Well, I mean, just think about this. How many, you know, we know the Bible says God is love. We preach, man, God is love, isn't it? God is love. Do you know what else the Bible says God is? God is a consuming fire. And is it in the promise book? It's not in the promise cards you pull out. And God, wow, isn't that something? God's a consuming fire. Sorry, we didn't want that one. Why? That scares us. You know why? Because of babyhood Christianity doesn't understand. Thank God my God's a consuming fire. My God can burn stuff out of me. I've been working trying to get out of me. My God can do in me what nobody else can. Christians stay carnal because they're afraid of fire, and the fire is what they need. I mean, you need to get thrown in the furnace every once in a while. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You need to get thrown in the furnace. But we don't see that. We're afraid. We have this thing of fear. You know, I'm afraid if I get in there, it might change me. And then we keep telling, we want to change. Oh, yes, I want to do the will of God. I want to change. But don't do anything that changes me. Hallelujah. Well, I gave up. Lord, burn me up. If you need to, let's get it on with. Now, I want you to think about this. Here's some scriptures. Now, this is talking about the Christian in the judgment seat of Christ. But I want you to see this. If you can look at it from the negative side and see whatever you want. But if you understand it on this side, we can allow fire to change us on this side, or we wait to go to heaven and let fire deal with us there, because it will. Now listen what it says here. This is 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Verse 11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed." How? By fire. "And the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, we're saved through fire. That's what he says. We're saved through fire. But you know what he says to us? Now, look, we look at this. Here's the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I go present myself. In other words, fire's going to test me of what? In other words, the fire, which isn't a physical fire burning, but I am going to be examined by God on the basis of what I did, whether it can stand the test of God. That's what it's going to do, whether it's good or not. In other words, if things were good, I get reward. If not, see, there's Christians who aren't going to have any reward. They're going to go to heaven, no reward. There's Christians who are going to go and get reward. Well, now, you can look at this as negative when I get there, but hold it. There's fire on this side. We can get tested on this side and get things fixed, so when we get over there, you have reward. It isn't a different fire then than it is right now. See, everybody looks at everything negative. We look at this stuff, oh man, when I stand before Jesus, get it fixed and you won't have that problem when you get there. You can do it on this side, and that's what it's about. It's about this side. It's about getting right. This is what God is working in the church today. God wants you ready to meet Him. Amen. He wants you to have reward. Jesus ain't trying to take reward from anybody. People who don't get reward, and there will be many who won't, and it'll be because of their hardness of heart on this side, and their refusal will be dealt with fire. That's why it's not going to have a thing to do with God. It's all about them. And you won't ever be able to stand before Jesus and say, "No, you're wrong, Jesus. You're wrong." That'll never happen. No, you'll say, "Yeah, Lord, you're right. you did right." God's anxious. And the Lord reminded me again, I was praying because one of the things that I read last week in reading the 1963 vision that Kenneth Hagin had while he was preaching, and I've listened to it, the actual where he was ministering in a church and he had this vision and then told the people what he saw. But anyhow, one of the things that he did, he saw in there, when we talked about, we read about it, he talked about what atheistic communism getting a hold here in America. He talked about Americans are going to lose freedoms, that he's talking about the end times, we're going to lose freedoms that we won't get back. But one of the things, this is one that we read about, and I want to read this to you because of what was said. Listen what he said. And the Lord brought this to me this morning and talked to me about this. Because we're in this time now. He told me, start praying for fire. Start praying about the fire. Start praying. Because he said, that's what's needed now, is the fire. See, what do we think is needed? Most of the church world is off base. Most of the church world is not listening to God. And their whole idea is, we need to get this election fixed. This is on the top of the list. What's God saying? I mean, he wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to him. Where are these prophets at? To talk to me about these things. Now, this is what he told Kenneth Hagin. And see, this is one of the things. I've had this, and I've prayed back into 2019, I had done a lot of praying and out there, taking things of prophecies that were spoken about the end times, what God wanted to do, I mean, reputable people in prophecies have proved themselves over time. Let me just say this about prophets. We need to talk about this. No prophet is going to all the time going around giving everybody a word. If they do that, they're operating under familiar spirits. We don't see that even in the Old Testament. Prophets didn't do that stuff. Giving everybody a word all the time. Kenneth Hagin said this back in the 1980s. He said this, many of the ministers operating under words of knowledge are operating under familiar spirits. I don't have to perform for you. You know, the word of knowledge operates in me a lot. But a lot of times God gives me words of knowledge that I could tell and I could say. But it isn't to tell or say. It's for my own information to know. It isn't to tell everybody everything. It isn't to let everything know. There's things the Lord shows me sometimes of people. It's just for my own protection. It's just to know and knowing what's going on and why things are happening. Why what's going on. It's not necessarily. The Lord's told me many things about people over the years. I've never said a thing to them about it. I would never would unless God tells me to say anything. I ain't saying anything. These guys run around all the time and prophesying to everybody all the time. It's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. You don't do that all the time. We got too much of this stuff going on, and it's because why? You know, people don't want to hear from God themselves. They want somebody, give me a show, give me something there, say something. Because somebody comes along and speaks to you and says something about your life. There's number one, you're going to find out this is how the gifts of the Spirit. God don't have somebody come along and speak to you about something you know unless he's going to do something to bless you in some way. Not just to show off, to tell you something. When people do that, that's a wrong spirit. What did Jesus do 99% of the time when he operated under a word of knowledge? He healed a person. These people running around doing this, it ain't nothing but show off. It is the devil at work building up the egos of men. Good preaching, Ed. I'm tired of this stuff. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in these things. But I'm going to tell you what. I've watched big name ministers that I can sit here and tell you about that you watch on TV and you think are wonderful guys of the stuff when they operate under wrong spirits. Things that they did and said, I could tell you stories. I know personally. I'm not talking about somebody told me. I know personally. It's done you. We get over here. We need to learn, pay attention to what's, listen to your inner man about what is going on. We don't do that. We like sensational. As one minister said, well, it was miraculous. Well, the devil will do miraculous. A miracle ain't no, it doesn't make it God because it was miraculous. How stupid. What immaturity. I mean, I've watched miraculous things. I watched a woman under a demonic thing and that stuff, oil just pour out of her hands. I'm going to tell you what, you could run a diesel locomotive as much oil as pouring out of her, but it was all demonic. But Christians bought it. And one of the biggest name charismatic ministers stood up and said, God wants her to lay hands on us. And I got up and left the meeting and said, that lady ain't getting her hands on this boy. God ain't showing off. God does not do miracles to show off. They're all with purpose. It is to bring blessing and it's for purpose. It's never for show off. It's for purpose. Jesus' ministry was filled with healing. And he healed and delivered people using gifts of the Spirit. They weren't to show off. You know, they said, well, what did the Pharisees want? It's like the Pharisees today. Show me a sign. Guys walking around healing them like crazy. They need a sign. They need a brain. That's what the church needs today. A brain. Dear God. Give me a sign. We always want something spectacular that is so extraordinary of something. Healing ain't enough for us. Deliverance ain't enough for us. That's why it don't happen. We don't see it. Because we want something way out. You know, stop the sun, God. He don't need to stop the sun for it. He only has to do that for unbelieving people. Amen. He did that for a king who wasn't born again, who did not have the Spirit in him. He's not going to do that for you. because of being faithless. He has to prove something to you. He got you born again. He's your God. He's living inside of you. What do you need? My God. We ought to be just the most full of faith people. I tell you, there are. You get in contact with the Holy Ghost in you, and I'll tell you what, you'll go wild after a while. Glory to God. You might start acting like me, and you think, oh, my God, I'm getting like him. Oh, gee. That'll curl your hair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, here, now this is what God said he wants to do at the end. And I'll tell you, see, he spoke to me today and he said, in this vision, he said to him, Kenneth Hagin said, and so then he said, I looked into the spirit realm and saw falling upon the mountain a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire and it fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up, and it seemed as though their hands were on fire. And then there sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, he said it seemed their whole head were on fire, but he said it was tongues of fire leaping. And then he said, and I said, what meaneth this? And this is the Lord said to him, before the worst shall come. Now I want you to get this, before the worst shall come. See, there's a lot of this Christian. They're back to preaching this stuff today, this kingdom now stuff that was preached back in the 80s. I heard it. The church is going to take over everything. Well, has it happened? And it ain't. It ain't. Naturally, things ain't going to get better. Now, we would like to, we say, well, things are going to get better. They're not. We're dealing with good and evil, and we're going to deal with them in their extreme. We're going to deal with really good people and really bad people. The Apostle Paul said, what are men going to like? They're going to love themselves. They're going to self-loving people, lovers themselves rather than lovers of God. They're going to be liars, cheats, thieves, and every other ugly thing. People are going to move toward that. Gee, are we here yet? Well, see, on the other side, see, the Lord told me this in, back in the 90s. The Lord showed me here in America. He said to me, there's going to be a great divide in America. He told me, places of great light and places of great darkness. Has it come? I remember back then telling people that and got criticized because, see, they were hearing all the Kingdom Now stuff. Oh, no. They were telling me, we're going to take over and everything's going to be wonderful. Wasn't what God was telling me. Now, am I any better? No. I just knew what God was telling me. I am not going to go talk. The Lord told me about it. I was just telling what the Lord told me. I found this out over the years. I don't tell a lot. Unless God tells me, I don't tell people anymore because I found out either people don't want to hear or sometimes they ain't ready to hear. They're not ready to hear it. Because we get ideas because most people listen to the majority voice. Not God's voice. To the majority voice. That's where you don't want to go to. You don't want to be in that place. You listen. I want to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say. I want to know what it's going to say. And so the Lord told me how the things would turn out. He said it would, and it has turned out the way it said. There's many things I spoke back then, and I said to people things would happen, and people, who are you? So-and-so, see? He has a big ministry. You don't. That's the measure. It's America today. That's the American church. Most people go by who's the most popular. That's the guy that you'd listen to because he's the most popular. So therefore, he must be right because a lot of people follow him. If you're right, it's a good chance a lot of people ain't going to be following you. God is, you know, let me just say this to you. You're going to be shocked as the move of God goes of how many Christians aren't going to go with it. You think Christians are going to like it. You think your Christian friends are going to like it. They're going to hightail it. Every revival has been like that. You know what's going to really shake you? The people that you thought in the world would never go for it are going to jump in and get so much for God, they're going to make you look bad. And you'll get to see how hungry people really act. I'm serious. Every revival is like that. You study revivals, and revivals are always the same way. You're always amazed at the people that won't flow with it, who are sitting around saying, we want to move a God. Oh, well, I guess we've got to go on to something else here. Anyhow. But it comes, and you surprise people that don't go with it. I saw it back in the charismatic renewal. I watched it. I watched the Pentecostal churches, from some of the full gospel churches, Pentecostal, Foursquare, all them, get upset because Catholics getting full of the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, that couldn't be God. God couldn't, because see, you know, you're a Catholic, there's no way you could be saved. And I found out, I started wondering about them. Because they fought God tooth and nail. And they would not go along with the move of God for nothing. If it was God, it would be going on in my church. They didn't realize God couldn't have got in their church no way at all. He couldn't have got in the door of the place. They weren't going to let him in. They had their religion that they wanted. They weren't excited that the Methodists were getting full of the Holy Ghost. They weren't excited about it. I thought some, you know what? I think people would be glad to see other people get blessed, but they're not. I saw the Spirit-filled people were some of the most selfish people that there were. Selfish, self-centered. Hallelujah. My God, people get filled, blessed, filled, Holy Ghost, saved, man. Now turn them loose. Dear God, I'm just glad to see it. Hallelujah. Where do we care where it's at? Just go after it, God. But see, when we get over in those things, and you get people who do it. Well, the Lord said, before the worst shall come, there will be those who shall go and who shall carry the fullness of, listen, my truth in the fire. See the word in the fire? Not just the word. This is what we're trying to do today. We're trying to do the word without the fire. Trying to do the word without the fire. We got to have the fire. The word in the fire. We need the word in the fire. See, this last day move of God, Smith Wigglesworth said this before he went home to be with the Lord back in 1948. He said, the last day, there's going to be a big last day move of God, bigger than any move of God has been on the face of the earth. And he said, that move is going to be a word of the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit. See, we've been with, you know, is the word people have become all word and no spirit. They have become powerless word people. Just the word. Just the, I'm sorry. See, it's what, when the Lord told me back in February of 1980, and he said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. He didn't say to me, if you don't learn to know the word real good, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. You can know the word real good and be a nothing as a Christian. That's what the Pharisees were. In their day, they knew the word. They could sit, those people could quote, the Pharisee could quote the first five books of the law, quote it at random. How many books can you quote? I mean, how many verses can you quote? Well, did they know the word? They knew the law? They knew the law. They knew it. They were real spiritual. When God showed up, they knew who God was. Many, many so-called word people wouldn't know God if he showed up with a red hat on, a purple cape, and doing cartwheels. They wouldn't know him. They don't know the Spirit. Now, I was fortunate as a young Christian because I was raised up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry. The Lord told me to stay very close to his teaching. And he was doing, when I came in his ministry, he was doing a lot of teaching on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And learning to listen to the Spirit and learning to listen in that area is developing to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Folks, you need to know and understand how important that is. No matter how you know the Word, without the Spirit, you can't apply it. The Word is applied. You need both. You need to know it. It's just like back in those days. Those people would know what the Word says. They'd quote the Word and that kind of stuff. But nothing would happen. I was in a church when I was a young Christian, and God sent me to church. And we had all the, when I got there, you know, I'm just a young Christian. And these people are born again for some of them 40 years. You know, they got on me all this stuff. But you know what? God's demonstrating manifesting gifts of the Spirit through me, and they have nothing. Yet they could have quoted more Bible to me than I do. But see, they knew nothing about yielding the Spirit. Then on the other hand, I'd get around people who understood about yielding the Spirit, but then they would get over there and know nothing about the Word, and they'd get all messed up. You see, you gotta have them both. You gotta have them both. We need a woo. It's number one, we need the fire of God. You know, we teach the Word here, and you hear the Word, and you know the Word. But I'm gonna tell you what, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost working in us to bring this thing. We ain't gonna bring it by our genius, by our wonders. I tell you, we need anointed. We open our mouths, it's the power of God coming out of us. It's just not some nice words. It's not just some things just being said. We need to know it's God speaking, because the power of God will grip people's hearts. I mean, I live through revivals. I have seen what revivals do. And we need to understand this. You need to understand. Most people today and most ministries are trying to operate in the same things of revivals of the past. And it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And I'm going to tell you why. See, there's a difference, and you need to know this. You need to know the time that you're living in and how the Spirit's moving. America is in a different condition today than it was 30, 40 years ago. And it will not, the Spirit will not move in the same manner. The Spirit is going to move more direct on people because people have heard. There are people who have, and He's going to deal with them directly. And if you just keep playing this, oh, God loves you stuff, you ain't going to go nowhere with God. God loves you, but if you ain't living right, I can give you scripture after scripture what's going to happen to you. God loving me does not determine my destiny. My obedience to God determines my destiny. Obedience to God determines destiny, not God. We have such an unscriptural gospel preached today. And it's sending people off to hell. Every day people are dying, going off to hell. People going off. But Christians and churches call themselves Christian churches going off to hell. Have no clue about Christ. They don't know a thing. They went off with their religious belief and religious ideas, but they've never been born again. They've never passed from death unto life. Never happened to them. Going along with the religion of men. Why? Because God loves me. Do you think God's love has changed to any of humanity that's in hell today? Did they go to heaven just because God loved them? No. I'll tell you what, I think there's going to be a lot of preachers in hell. I think hell's going to be a load of preachers who sent people there, but not preaching the truth and telling people. See, we need to tell people. You see, you need to understand, we're going to deal with some things. It's not completely today. But we get over in this teaching, things that we need to heal, that the Bible says when we look down at it, Jesus said, it wasn't definitely seeker-friendly, but it must be told people if we're going to bring people to the knowledge of truth of salvation. I want you to understand this. Somebody can't get saved without knowing their spiritual condition. That they're on their way to hell. That they're lost without Christ. That they're not a good person. See, we're not allowed to say that today. They don't want us to say that kind of stuff. I mean, the Democrats want to make it a hate crime for a Christian, for a minister like me, to stand up and preach against homosexuality. They want me to be charged for hate crime. But I want to tell you where the Democrats got that from. The church. Because the church is the one to open the door to them. The church did. And I was out in Omaha, you know, at my daughter's place, and I just get up in the morning and go out for a walk. And I was around Omaha the first day I was there. I mean, I could tell the spirit in the place. The place is filled. I mean, just in case, Omaha, Nebraska, it's filled with homosexuals and lesbians. It's full of them. Place is filled with them. And I was out walking in the morning, walking through a neighborhood, and I was just praying. And I said, God, what is going on? I mean, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm out in the middle of supposed to be what's America. Dear God, it's devil country. And I'm out walking around. Hey, place is full of churches. Spirit-filled churches. Full of homosexuals and lesbians. Unless, Lord, what is going on? What is happening here? He said, the spirit of the age is dominating and ruling. I mean, he said, even my churches have opened the doors to the spirit of the age, and it's ruling over them. That's what he said to me. See, Christianity is so messed up. It can't be saved as long as the people who think they're good keep thinking everything's good. Now, what do you think of if I would go preach at a place like that and sit down and say, God loves you? That's what they've been hearing. You're going to reach them by preaching about sin. Oh. I don't think I want to go there. I don't think I'm going to invite friends or family to that service. Uh-huh. Most Christians would never bring the person they say they want to reach for Jesus to a place where somebody would speak something other than they're comfortable with because they think it would run them off. I told this story. We first started a church. There was a guy who came to our church. He was actually a seminary graduate. I think he was a cemetery graduate. They said seminary, but I think it was a cemetery. We were meeting at that time we were meeting at Treadway Inn. We were out the Treadway Inn there. And I'll never forget this. Right before the service, this really thinking himself as being some kind of real, he thought he was real spiritual, you know. And he comes walking up to me and he said, I invited my uncles here today to church with us. And he was from out of state, man. And we brought him to church and he's a Baptist. I sure hope you're not going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is a guy supposed to be spirit-filled, and he was. And I knew I probably wouldn't ever been able to cast that spirit out of him, but he was full of one. He had a spirit. But this guy, he says this to me, and it's very interesting, because that Sunday, that's what I was going to preach on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he didn't scare me off with it. I thought, hey, you know, God gave me the message. I have a choice, preach God's message or listen to that idiot. Now, I knew from him how carnal he was, the fact that he would come and make a statement to me like that for you. Well, I hope God doesn't do anything to make things uncomfortable. So anyhow, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and found out that his uncle was 1,000 times more spiritual than he was. His uncle came up after the service and shook my hand, and I knew it must have been God because he said, that's the best sermon I ever heard. And we had to live with that dumb person calling himself spirit-filled. You know, see, we got to come to where we're going to trust God. We're going to let God be God. There's not a lot of that in the church today. We're too much. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote and said what it's going to be like in the last days, that people were going to draw teachers to themselves. I am sorry to say, most ministries are teachers to themselves. They got people decided what they wanted in a minister, and the minister has become what they wanted. We don't seek God. I have this all the time. People come, I'm looking for a church that we would like. And I always ask people, gee, you're fortunate. God's never let me go to the church of my pick. He's always sent me to the church I needed. Mm-hmm. And you know what? A bunch of them were uncomfortable. But, you know what? I grew through that stuff. And he knew it. He wanted me to grow up. If you're looking for comfort, you will never grow up. You grow up. You know, I went to service. They wanted to teach us to be warriors. They didn't make us comfortable. They made us fight. Oh, dear God, what a bunch of awful people they were. Turn you into a soldier and get you running around shooting and carrying on. Who would think? Why? Because you can't become, you know, they would do everything that they could to make it seem like actual warfare to train you. What was the purpose of that? Because it has to be like war for you to understand. You need to understand. You need some warfare. You need to get in some things up to your neck to get over the things that you let your flesh bug you. That's what I found. I had to get in situations that were over my... I thought my problems were so big, and I found out they weren't a darn thing. And the reason they never got solved is because I hadn't grown enough to deal with them. And when I got under pressure, I saw how little they were and what a fight was really like. Amen. And then I ran into people that had a fight that was 10 times worse than mine. And then I was ashamed of myself for complaining about my little fight. And yeah, I had a lot of nerve complaining about that. No wonder things weren't working for me. You know? First time I went to a third world country, I said, Ed, you need your faith slapped off. You have a lot of nerve complaining. I was like, oh my God. They talk about here in America, we're having a tough time. Like, give me a break. We don't know what hard time is. It's down in Peru in the devil's mouth. I never forget it went there. We went in a bus. It was a big over-the-road bus. Except we're going down the devil's mouth, which is a place where over 1 million people live. They don't have electricity and no running water. There's no sewage systems. Now, just think about it. Over 1 million people live. I don't know if you can imagine what it's like. You can think, sit and think what you want. But you ain't been, no place in the United States been like that. Their water system was these little adobe things that they made about this high, square adobe with a black rubber in it. And they pumped water out of the river and dumped it into there. And that was their water. And they had them every so often. And I was like, oh my God. You talk about sick. No refrigeration in a place. Everybody just lives from day to day. And I'm talking about live from day to day. I'm not talking about people don't have nothing. And when you talk about poverty, you get down there and you just want to cry. Your heart goes out to these people. And we went again in an overroad bus, very nice bus, this big bus, air conditioned, and we step off in this place. And you have to watch yourself because they, you know, to them, it was like God got off the bus. My interpreter said to me, he said, you need to understand here, nobody comes and visits them. He said, you be careful what you say to them. Because he said, they'll take everything you say to heart. Because just the fact that you came to them? Well, see, most Americans, they think it was great. If somebody thought they were God, they'd think that was God trying to help them. They wouldn't realize it, you know. First people I got to meet was a woman. She has 4 children. Now, you need to live in a country. There is no welfare systems. There is no systems to take care. There's no social systems. It's not like America. We're poor. I'm down to my last 3 cars. And I only have 2 TVs now, and it's really getting bad. And I think I have 4 phones, but they're not working as well as they should. They're not as fast as everybody else's. I need a new one. And, you know, these people, I mean, it's just poverty you just can't believe. I mean, you're looking at this stuff. This woman, her husband left her. She's 4 children. She's trying to feed her 4 children. This isn't the United States where everybody got their rights. And you know, I was talking to this lady. She's sick. All 4 kids are sick. And you're looking thinking, you get your mother. And there you are. You look at your kids, probably lucky if they get a meal a day. Lucky if they get a meal a day. I don't know as a parent. I mean, anything that crushed me, is nothing hurt me more in life than when something would happen to my kids. It's like, to happen to me ain't no big deal. Unless you're like a lot of people today, they'll put themselves before their kids. They don't care. To me, it's, man, my kids, that was like, my God. My wife and kids, it meant more to me, you know, keeping them in good condition than myself. I never thought about it. It was them. And I just thought, here's this poor lady. She's sitting in the, she's born in this, that country. She's born in Peru. I'm born in America. In America, where you can have a good life being an idiot. Where how many Americans who are idiots have good lives? And I'm thinking, this poor lady is in this country. And I'm in a country at the time, it's 10,000% inflation going on. They had dollar bills this long with zeros on them. I'm serious. You'd read them like a newspaper. You never see nothing like it in your life. You have a few bucks on you, you got about 4 pounds of paper. And you know, she's living it. She's sick. Her kids are sick. You're talking about people being hopeless. You better know how to get a hold of God. Christians in America don't want to go to those places because they do nothing to go there but show off. You need to know how to get a hold of God. They need God desperately. They don't need another American. They don't need another just dollar passed off. Because when you go, they need somebody with them. They need something they can trust. They need to know that there's a God there for them. And I love it because God shows up. He shows up for them. You know, you can't stop and ask somebody else, won't you pray for them? I just don't pray well. Well, it's because you don't at home and you don't here, so stay at home. Know God and go. See, this is what we need. We need in America today. The Christian in America is too shallow. Too self-conscious. Too... You know, how about, I need to go to classes on how to lead people to Christ. What? How did you get there? You don't know how you got there? If you don't know how you got there, you probably didn't. I never went to a class on how do you lead somebody to Christ. To me, you say, the Americans, I mean, there's so many Americans went to those classes and stuff and never led anybody to Christ. Like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I can't be led by the Spirit. I can't, see, these people need this. We're in a world that somebody needs a real God and somebody has to, and if God's not real to you, and that's why we need fire. Amen. We need fire. That's why, I watch very little Christian television. I can't stand it because there's no fire. It's something I just want to burn a TV or burn my, you know, laptop. That's what I want to burn. It's like, dear God, just going on talking all this great stuff and all this flowery stuff and all this big stuff and none of it, you know. Talking about the great moves of God they're having, you go to try to find out where they're really at and they're not there. They'll lie to you about things. Major ministries like they're having a big move of God and they'll talk about it and you find out it ain't so. Ministries talking about people sending them money. We have an orphanage in Haiti. Yes, we got an orphanage down there and we have this orphanage. Yes, down there. And they're collecting millions of dollars and they don't have an orphanage down there. Big name ministries. Why? People don't check. People send checks to America and think they're doing good. And God laughs. Think, what a bunch of morons they are. You listen in your spirit, you'd know better. I don't care what... All you got to do is show an American, you know, a dog that looks starved and skinny, or, you know, a skinny kid, and boy, we can't rate... Well, we're going to... Somebody says they're doing it. There might be a kid who is starving out there, but I want to find the guy who's feeding him. I'm not just giving it to some knucklehead because he showed me a picture. But we're just, somebody says they're doing something. I always love it. I get these calls, and you'll get a call to personal and say about, we're collecting for such and such. And I say, how much did you give? It's amazing how the stuttering starts on the other end. And then they say this stuff. Well, I give by helping to raise money. I said, look, if your money ain't in it, mine ain't either. Goodbye. That's simple. Your money's not in it, mine's not in it. I'm not a fool. Most people are. Most people are fools. We don't think 2 seconds about what we do. We don't listen on the inside of us. You know, I've learned this over the years. I like to help people, and even in other countries. What I do is I find out somebody who's over there who is doing something. I don't need no middlemen. There are loads of ministries that are nothing but middlemen and make huge amounts of money being the middleman. And we keep supporting them. We need to knock this stuff off. We're having billions of dollars a year of churches are dumping money, Christians dumping money that's going to nothing. We need to stop it. I find out where somebody's doing something, and then I give it to them. Somebody who's in that area, somebody there who can get the stuff to the person. Instead of going through this guy, and they do this over here, this guy, and this guy, and that guy. I don't have to do all that. Somebody says they're doing something. I don't know they're doing. They might be exactly right. They are doing. But if I don't know it, you've got to check things out. Do you check things and find out if they're doing it? People don't find out. Well, so-and-so, I don't care what some big-name minister said. I've been lied by tons of them. To my face. One big-name minister sent me a tape and had on there, you never admit when you make a mistake. Because people won't follow you if they think you make mistakes. What an arrogant. People send him checks. I'd send him a bomb. Dear God. What do we need a man like that on the face of the earth for? He's the devil's helper. What arrogance. He thinks he's so good that nobody knows he's an idiot. Well, sure, there's a lot of idiots following giving money, but there's a lot of people know he's an idiot. There's some people listen to the Holy Ghost. Don't admit you make a mistake. I don't have to admit to you. You can see it. You know, sometimes I think I'm a mistake. See, that's what I told the Lord. We told him to start a church. I thought God made a mistake. I said, you got to pick another guy, dear Lord. Me be a preacher? Yeah, I'm gonna be a pastor. That's going to be a good one. The Lord told me my ministry was for the end times. See, I always knew. See, I was always point blank, but that's the way I was. The anointing comes on me and it just goes that way. I just, you know. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't see myself as a pastor. I said, would they ever say everything? A pastor is supposed to be this really nice guy patting everybody. That's what most of them do. And they write books telling you to do it. That's what you're supposed to do. And I said, Lord, I don't fit it. I don't fit this thing. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, I know exactly what you are and who you are. And I called you because of who you are and what you are. I've raised you up for this. And I said, surely God has definitely made a mistake. Am I hearing from God? And you know what? I wouldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. He told me I didn't believe it. I kept hitting the him and hollering around. Didn't want to start a church. Till one day he got fed up with me. And I was praying about the church. And he said this to me. He said, that book you read, and actually they gave me this in Bible school. They gave us a book on pastoring. He said, that book you read, he said, I called that man to do a certain thing in ministry, and he turned around and wrote a book like everybody's supposed to do what he does. He said, throw that book away. So he told me to. Throw it away. The Lord said, throw the book away. And he said, get up and start the church, and I don't want to ever hear you talk about this again. I said, yes, sir. It wasn't kind. See, he didn't stop and say, Ed, I really love you, and I wish you would start this church. No, he told me to get up, and I never want to hear you talk to me about this again. Little fire. It's amazing what fire does. It got me doing something. You might want to know why you haven't moved in some areas. Because you ain't got fire under you yet. You haven't ever had God come to you and say, or else. He has to me. It's amazing how it changes Ed's attitude. Or else. I don't know what God's or else is. I don't want to find out. I don't want to find that one out. I just, okay, all right. Let's not get touchy. I'm gonna get right over here. I'm just kidding. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sort of like my dad used to have to put fire on me every once in a while. Hallelujah. We're gonna go into these things talking a little more there. We're gonna go over into about the new birth. Things that Jesus said, because what we're dealing with is a generation that needs to be told the truth, not to be mean, but in love, but tell them the truth. The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. It doesn't tell us to speak love. You tell the truth and your motive is love. Why do you want to reach people? Why? Just put notches in your gun belt? What do you do? Do you really want to reach people for Jesus? Your motive has to be pure. But you tell people what the truth. Tell the people the truth concerning their condition. We're not doing that today. That's why the fire of God. See, you're going to need the fire of God. Because, you know, there's going to be resistance. You need that fear. One thing is, I've learned all the time. The more the fire of God is in me, the more I'll get in the areas of minister. I don't worry about me so much. It's amazing what fire does. I just go home and say, did I really preach that? Did I say that? Did I do that today? Because the anointing comes, the anointing comes, but you need that fire, because that fire brings that conviction to you. There's stuff inside that you're sure of and you know about, and you need that fire inside of you. See, and it's more than just you. See, we talk about the grace of God, and what we're going to talk about in some of these things, because the grace of God is God's ability working in you. We always take grace and talk about it being favor. It's used very little in that way in the Bible. Most of the time in the New Testament, grace is dealing with God's ability that works in you. That's what you want. You want grace. Grace is about, grace is not the ability to sin and get away with it. It's God's power working in you to overcome. That's what it is. And whatever it is that you're dealing with or you're going through, whether it's ministering the gospel or you just standing concerning whatever you're dealing with in life, that you can stand through it victorious, you need grace. You can't say, most people are just trying to stand by their own faith. And they never receive the grace of God for themselves as God's ability. That you stand there, He's made me more than a conqueror. God's working in me powerfully. And see, getting yourself over where you're yielded to God and what God's doing in you. And you're not just doing it by your own, my own power, my own working to try to get labor through this thing. And, well, just about my faith. My faith is God's word. That's where it is. And grace is God's ability for me to walk and live in faith. Grace is about overcoming. Grace is not about living down in something and me just trying to work along. I've learned a long time ago, my faith, you can get over and just doing your own human faith thing. And trying to walk through it. And what will happen to you? After a while, you'll get over in the areas and you become so self-conscious of your mistakes and your things. And, oh man, I did this, 14 years ago. And the devil will remind you that. And he'll just throw things that have been happened that, have nothing to do with nothing. But you'll live over in your weakness. You'll live over in the areas of your own frailties. And you won't walk in the power of God and yield to the grace of God that God has for you. That's why the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. See, you go to God, the throne, boldly for mercy. Why? Because you messed up. And He said, what am I going to do there? I'm going to slap you on the head? He said, no, at that throne, when you come and you need mercy, I'm going to give you grace. That's the ability so you don't keep tripping and falling up over there on that stuff. So that thing, the reason you had to come, you get it fixed. That's the purpose of it. Grace is the power of God in action through a person. It's not God being nice to Ed. It's God being powerful in it. It's God's glory working through me. Hallelujah. And it'll work for you in the same thing. And Jesus said, when you mess up, what you need is grace. Hallelujah. What you need is my ability working in you. You messed up in your ability. Now come and get mine and we'll fix it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we have to come to. Today, grace is preached the biggest lie. It's God overlooking your sin. Grace is the fixer of sin. It's the one that puts sin under and puts man over. Glory to God. That's what grace does.
Hallelujah.
Not that stupid stuff that guy from, you know, Singapore writing dumb books. Stupid Christians binding, making him a millionaire. Bunch of idiots. Makes me so mad. Making a man a millionaire. Christians with his lies. That is defeating people. Open the door for the devil to get into lives. And let me, people who believe that stuff, I have not met one yet that haven't got the money problems. Haven't met one yet? Why? It's an open door to the devil. I don't have to repent. Dear God, I do. I'm sorry. I've been known to make a mistake every once in a while. Now I know you might not think much of me anymore, but I've been known to do it. And I have been known to go, God, I surely do need the grace. I surely do need it. And see, this is what this grace, this is what this fire is about. It's about fixing things. It's not about burning stuff up. It's about that fire, just like a fire. You know, the Lord used the analogy to me. He talked about the fires out west and burning. He said, those fires will consume into areas of everything. And he said, you know, it goes into a wooded area. And he said, it'll burn up a lot of the worthless stuff that causes the fire to keep spreading. He said, a lot of that worthless stuff that they don't clean out, he said, just causes the fire to burn more and more. And he said, my fire will burn all that worthless stuff out of people.
Amen.
He said, it ain't going to kill them. It's going to burn all that worthless stuff out of them. He said, it's going to fix the problems. I'll tell you what, burn the worthless stuff out of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. My God, it's hard to stop preaching the anointing. You people pull and pull and hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Whew.
Hallelujah. Been getting to preach on me again. I'll tell you. I just hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, your plans are great. Your purposes are great. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you sure do love your people. You're excited about your people. Lord, I am just, I'm so thankful and overwhelmed at your great love and mercy toward our nation and your desire, Lord, just this morning talking. Lord God, and I am so thankful to stand in front of people, Lord God, who really like you. It's nothing, Lord God, there is nothing greater. There is nothing greater, Lord God, to stand before people who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen. Praise God.
Lord God, Lord, I'm just so glad to be able to be around people that just love you. Lord God, will they let you speak to them? Lord God, they want to hear, they desire to know the truth. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, I pray in this community, Lord God, because, Lord, there's churches through this community. There are people, maybe not the whole, but there's a people out here in every church. There's ones who, Lord God, are wanting more, are hungry for something else. Lord, many, they don't like things that are going on, but they don't know what else to do. They don't know. But, Lord God, you'll uphold them. You will uphold them, Lord God. And Lord God, I just pray for them in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Just as with this people, Lord God, they're a blessed people. And Lord God, you'll bless them. Lord God, you'll help them. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll bring ones along to them, Lord God. Lord, that'll bring truth to them to help them grow up, to help them, Lord God, develop. Father God, Lord, because there is a people. There's a people in this city and they belong to you. They're yours. Hallelujah. You saved them. You delivered them. They're your people. And Lord God, you will uphold your people. You will not neglect them. And Father, I thank you. Just like here, I am just so thankful for your patience and kindness to us, Lord God. Lord, because truly, you waited on us. You waited on us and gave us time, Lord God. And what can we say but, Lord God, you're good and your mercy endures forever. You're good and your mercy endures forever. And Lord God, you're a great desire to show kindness, and especially here in our nation again. And I thank you for what you revealed to me today, Lord God. Lord God, you're reaching out. That fire's burning, Lord God. That fire is burning, Lord God. Hallelujah. And that fire's going to get bigger. That fire's going to get greater. That fire's going to burn more and more and more, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, you're going to reach hordes and hordes of people. You're going to reach hordes and hordes of people, Lord God. Lord, as you showed me concerning this valley, you showed me that, Lord God, they would be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. You said they would be ready. Hallelujah. Lord, and I saw it. I saw it, Lord God. You showed it to me. Hallelujah. The people ready to meet Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God. I want to thank you so much for giving us a part and a place, Lord God, in ministry. I'm just so thankful. Lord God, it matters to me not what people think of it. But Lord God, if it's the place that you've set us and the place you've given us, Lord God, we take it with honor. With great honor, Lord God. Lord, nothing has to be big. It has to be your plan, that's all. We just want it to be your plan. Hallelujah. What you want us to fulfill, and we'll fulfill it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Our great desire is that our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He be glorified. That He be magnified through the labor of our hands that you've given us, Lord God. That's what we want. We want Jesus to be brought to the forefront, that men are looking to Him. And Father God, we're not going to be disappointed in this thing. Hallelujah. We're not going to be disappointed. So we thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to ask, the Lord told me this morning, when I was praying, and one of the things He brought to my remembrance is a thing. The Lord had spoken to me, a number of years ago, and it said to me about, healing. See, speaking about the healing power of God, He said, my healing power is always present. It's always present. And He said, in other words, from a ministry standpoint, as I've always told people that you know, He said, when you minister to people and you lay hands on people, He said, the healing power of God is always present. He said, all they have to do is receive it. That's what they must do to receive it. And I was never really, I never talked to the Lord when He talked to me about that. I never didn't realize He wanted to talk more about it, but I had never continued the conversation with Him. And I found that out about the Lord. There's some things that you need to understand this, that you don't know about God. It's because He didn't cut off the conversation. You did. You didn't continue it to find out. You know, sometimes when God stops talking, it doesn't mean that He don't want you asking some things. And I didn't. And so about 20 years later, in fact, it was back last year. Last year in the summer, I was driving and was driving here to church one morning. I think it was in early August is when it was. I was driving here to church, and the Lord brought up what He told me about that. And then He said this to me. See, I had never asked before, and I'd never asked. I just felt so stupid when He told me, because I thought, what an idiot. It took me 20 years to finally get what else He wanted to say to me. And I still hadn't asked. He had to just up and tell me. And He said this to me. He said, I wanted you to start to minister in that way to people. I wanted you to tell people that the power of God was there and tell them that the Lord said if they will believe that the power of God is there and they will receive it, when I lay hands on them, they'll be healed. I never ministered. Now, you know, sometimes God wants you to do certain things in certain ways. He wants you to do things in certain ways. And when you start obeying that, you find out things get more effective concerning him. And He might tell somebody else to minister in another way. You need to understand what it's about. It's about It's about obedience and faith. That's what it's about. You see, the church world today generally follows a pattern, and it's the pattern of however it was, it's been done in the past. We usually don't spend much time listening to God. It's like with me, I felt so dumb when he told me that. I thought, dear Lord, I never asked about it. And he has to go 20 years later to try to get me in his will of doing this thing. It's like, oh my God. Oh, I don't know about you. Maybe you're brighter than me. But I'm not. But he spoke to me this morning, and I just want to ask, is anybody you need the healing power of God this morning? If you need the healing power of God, God wants to minister to you. Anybody at all, you need the healing power of God. You can receive it today. Yeah, come on down. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else, if you need the healing power of God for any reason? Hallelujah. Whatever you might need it for. Well, now he told us, his number one is what he said, and we want to walk, I'm just going to act in line with it, but I just want to say this. See, his number one prayer, it says, the person, in other words, that I'm ministering to, they must receive it. And what does that mean, is to receive it? You see, the Bible teaches us we need to believe we receive. Jesus said when we pray, we need to believe we receive it, then we'll have it. In other words, by faith, before we feel anything, see anything happen, and then we're supposed to believe God gave it to us. That's what we're believing. God gave it to us before we see it. But see, if we act in faith with this, it works. See, Kenneth Hagin had an anointing where God gave him a special anointing. Now, see, where I'm operating in is a thing he told me to do of faith to minister to people. He didn't say I had a specific anointing. He said, which really you need to know when you minister to people, anytime the power of God is present to heal. Mm-hmm. It's present to heal. And he told me he just wants me to tell people that it's present to heal. So God's power right here this morning, we're not trying to get it here. It's here. It's here this morning. So we're not working anything up. We're not asking God to send healing from anywhere. We don't have to do that. Healing power is present. Hallelujah. You woke up this morning in your bedroom. Healing power was present. You got in your car to drive to church. Healing power was already present. See, you have to act great in faith to it, is the fact of it is. It is there. Because it will never manifest itself. It doesn't manifest itself unless you act in faith. That's how it manifests. What we're trying to do is get it to manifest, then we'll say, I believe. It don't work that way. That is the way the thing works. So, it is here present. See, to me, that's the most wonderful thing to think about. It's already here. So we're not trying to get God to heal you. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Boy, does that take a lot off of us, don't it? We're not trying to get him here. He's already here and he wants to heal. What would he have the healing power here? Oh no, I don't want to use it. I just sent it. Just so you could look at it. No, he said, it's here. And all you have to do, see, you're going to do your part and I'm going to do my part. And you know what he told me? It's going to work. That's what he said. My part is to lay hands on you. And he said, if you believe you receive it, hallelujah. Glory to God. Can't get no better than that, can it? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank for healing power from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord God, that healing power. The same spirit that lays Jesus from the dead is living in her. Making her body alive of even things that she doesn't even know about. Hallelujah. Her body strong and whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for healing her. I appreciate it so much of your love for her and your healing her. Thank you, Lord God. You're so good to your servant. Hallelujah. How wonderful you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing her. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, she's well and whole and sound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I felt it moving.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's always present. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God. See, it should be exciting when we minister. If we believe we got something, there'll be joy. It's when people come to get prayed for and they walk away with a long face. You know what they told me? I didn't get nothing. See, if you believed you got something, it'll make you happy.
Amen.
If you believed you got something, woo, glory to God. Hallelujah, I got something.
Amen.
Glory to God. Say, did you feel it? No, it don't matter, but I got something.
Amen.
Because I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by the words of God are true. Hallelujah. He said he healed me. That settles the whole subject. That's it. Don't matter what anybody else says on the subject. It's what he said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God, because you do love your people. You are so good. Hallelujah. You're so good. And we just want to thank you. As we leave here today, what a wonderful, loving God that we have. It takes care of us and is looking after our future. And Father, I want to thank you that these people are blessed in the name of Jesus. That they're blessed coming in and going out. Lord God, that your hand's upon them. And Father, I pray for them today in the name of Jesus for fire. Lord God, fire on them in the name of Jesus Christ. A fire burning in them. Lord God, Lord, maybe right now it doesn't seem to be much, but Lord God, I thank you that fire is going to burn hotter and hotter. And hotter, and hotter, and hotter, and hotter, and bigger, and hotter. Lord God, Lord, I thank you. They're going to be engulfed. Hallelujah. Engulfed in the anointing of God. Lord, confidence, a people full of confidence. Lord God, hallelujah. Unashamed. Lord God, Lord, a fierceness of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Lord God, that they'll go forth with such boldness, hallelujah, and tenacity of heart, hallelujah. Lord God, the lame will walk, the blind will see, hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, the lost will come to Christ, hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you're raising up a people full of life. Full of life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They're your ministers. They're your servants, Lord God. Hallelujah. They have a call from you. They have a call from heaven and not from man, but from heaven, Lord God. And they will fulfill it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go and be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.